Blog Talk Radio.
Today we are going to be doing, of course you guys know, front page picks and open poetry. We take any callers that want to call in and help us read. Just to tell you a little bit about ourselves, we are from the Late Night Poets group. You can find us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join. And these shows are provided by our very own poets from around the world, who donated their poetry to help with pay for the cost of the evening shows. But there's various types of whatever you like, you can find it. And also after midnight shows, which are racy and, you know, more adult themed. So, you know, you can also find our books on Amazon. This is where they are printed, all the poets that donated their poetry, on Amazon.com. And just like the name of our group, Late Night Poets, you can find the anthologies and various books of the various radio shows. So please check us out. We have tons of poetry, so let's get started. I'm going to pick up my right-hand gal, which is Katie, and she's from Scotland, and I just love her. Hi, yes, Katie.
Hello, my darling girl.
Hi, I am always happy to have listen to your voice. You are such a cracker. You're so much fun.
Thank you. If you only
welcome,
knew me properly.
Nah, I think I know you enough. That's why I like you so much. And we have another caller, 703. Who are we welcoming?
Hey, folks, it's Zach.
Hi, Zach. How you doing, Zach?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing well, thank you. Just ready to start some poetry and, you know, and having a good day.
Happy to have you.
Productive day.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to have you.
Lovely to hear you. I'm just going to write your name down.
And we have another caller, which I do believe this is our Barry White. Is this Laurent?
Good evening, Lulu. How are you?
Hi. You know what? I'm always good when you guys call in. I love to hear you read. How are you doing?
Good.
Now?
Hello, everyone. Hello, Katie.
Hello, my dear. Good
hey.
Welcome. I'm going to write your
welcome,
name down,
welcome,
too.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And I don't know where Gray is. He did not say he was coming or not, but I don't know. And then I'm waiting also from one of our other co-hosts to call in, Laurent Montanier. And I hope I pronounced that correct this time. All right, Miss Katie. We are ready to get started. I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too. I tell you, I'm Frank. I'm sorry, but you're only ever going to be Frank to me because I can't say any of your other names.
Yeah, Francisco is much easier to pronounce.
Poor boy. I'm sorry, Frank. You know me. Old age does it to everybody. Okay, we have. this is perfect for a person that's old. Now we ride skyward. Cool. Okay. Zach, would you like to read this for us, please? And I'm sorry I'm yelling. I do apologize.
You're not yelling.
Shall we?
Did you post it in the group? Because I don't see it.
Okay. I could have sworn I posted it in the group. Let me just check. See, this is when I get
know,
excited.
Sometimes it just disappears sometimes when I'm doing things.
And sometimes I send it to people on their private message, and nobody gets it. So I haven't done it this time. Oh, honestly, it's a horror being me. You would not want it, I swear. Okay, here we are. This will be it then.
Here we go.
Cool.
All right. Now we ride skyward by Arlist. The canyon floor beckons like a siren, seducing Odysseus. I plug my ears, crawl the limestone walls, check my descent as I fall ever earthward. No footsteps but mine scour the sand, a sheet of glass. It bursts diamonds. In the dying light, I overload my pack with riches along this pitted path. Purple swoops saturate the clouds. The day's final tableau, a beneficent friar. I hear the ancient wash of sighs bathe the western wall. Inwardly, I wail, bang my head against stone. I cast back to your pirouette in the pines. Your lithe body called to me, a tone pure in sirens. Now we rise skyward to be reborn in the the eternal kiss of the wind. End poem.
You did a fabulous read, Zach, of Arlis' poem. Now we rise to the sky. I see that he entered a contest. Not only did he get a front page pick, but he also got an honorable mention. And I'm conflicted today. So, Katie, what did you think this fabulous poem by Arlis?
That is the word, fabulous. I loved it. I thought it was seducing. It's the only word you could say. It just rises and rises to the sky. Wonderful. But then that last stanza, which obviously sums it all up. Now we rise skyward to be reborn in the eternal kiss of the wind. Isn't that just too much? Wow. Mm-hmm. A tone purer than sirens. Ah, wow. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much. It was fabulous, at least.
I agree. You know, I loved how he opened the first stanza. And I'm going to go with that because I could literally comment on the imagery in each stanza. It's so rich. But, you know, the canyon floor beckoned like a siren seducing Odysseus. I plug my ears, claw the limestone walls, check my descent as I fall earthward. I mean, this is just fabulous. And, you know, even Kevin gave him a high rating on his poem. This was just wonderful. I would like to know what you thought about it, Laura.
Oh, I enjoyed this a great deal. I like the image of the canyon floor beckoning, riches to be collected along with memory. And I cast back to your pirouette in the pines, your live body call to me, a tone purer than sirens. I like the suggestion of Odysseus' travels in this, on a smaller scale perhaps, yet the struggle and temptation are there, with an uplifting ending. Well done. I say, Shem.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Wonderful comment, Laurent. Thank you. And Zach, you did, like I said, such a fabulous read on Arliss's poem. I would like to know your comment or what you thought about it.
Oh, I thought it was fantastically seductive as well. And I loved the epic form of the poem. I guess it definitely suited the whole thing, the format suited the poem well, the epic, and it was seductive all the way through. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, like, when I heard the sirens, I was like, uh-oh. And, you know, it kind of went above that. It was a much more pure sort of, like, feeling, purer than sirens, as it were, and rising above that. And I just loved that. So, yeah, it was fantastic.
Agreed. Wonderful, wonderful comment. And fabulous read. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, our next poem is Wandering the Isles by Ken Smith. And Laurent, could I ask you to give this one a read for us, please?
Certainement.
Oh, thank you very
Wandering
much.
Wandering the Isles. At the No Frills, I found some fruit cups just right for work, sealed in clear plastic. Made in China, each had a kind of spoon, flat yet concave, reminded me of a great plank. Sitting in moist clay, that brought me back to summer 74. A beat up pickup. A quarry, abandoned farm, warm beer and oils, sheltered in barn wood. Straw hay, a girl in long blonde hair. It was raining outside, but we didn't care. End poem.
What a fabulous read, Laurent. You know, I really like Ken's imagery and his poem. And not only did he get a front page pick, but he also was honored with the silver medal. And what I liked about this is how he took, if you could see it, it's an old barn with stray bales, and they're strewn, some of them, you know, strewn across the floor. And he made an image of a memory that, you know, possibly could have happened in here. But the thing is that you believe it. I really liked where he says, to dig in moist day that brought me back to summer 74, a beat up pickup truck, a quarry abandoned farm, warm beer and oil sheltered in a barn wood. And he talks about a long girl with long stray hair, gray, you know, straw, hay colored hair. And the imagery is just something that you can see, you know, just like when you would, you know, hang out in the back of pickup trucks and go to levees or, you know, go hang out in a barn somewhere. And it's just so vivid that, you know, it just brought that memories. And I thought this was so well written. What did you think, Kay?
Well, I think you people lead a completely different life from me. I've never been in a pickup truck. I've never been in a barn. I just have never lived. That's the truth of it. But this was fabulous. It is precise It's the liberation.
Bucket list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, I've got to find somebody with a pickup truck and a barn. That's not going to be easy. I can just imagine wanted. No, sorry. Back to the piece of poetry. This, just as I say, is precise in its way. It describes everything so that I can see it. You know, it's lovely. This fruit cup sealed with, I thought it was going to be a plastic cup, but sealed in clear plastic made in China. Each had a kind of a spoon. Yeah, just as I say, precise but so interesting. A glimpse into someone's life, which is always fun and very well written. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. And Zach, what did you think of Ken's poem?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought that it was like a modern reinterpretation of almost like Ginsberg's Supermarket in California. I thought like it just gave off a flea market kind of atmosphere, kind of started by the memory of the aisles, and it just kind of nostalgia for a gone but not forgotten time in the 70s with the pickup trucks and the barns. So it just kind of was reminiscent of a much more cheerful environment, I think. Yeah, overall. So I thought that was really well done.
Agreed. And Laurent, you did a fabulous read. I would like to know what you thought of Ken's poem.
Well, I really like this. I think we all had a summer of 74 at some point. And yes, certain things at certain times are no bother at all. Straw hay, a girl in long blonde hair. It was raining outside, but we didn't care. I like the details of this shorter piece. It's a great look back.
Excellent comment. And thank you, Laurent, and thank you for reading so well. And we're back to you, Ms. Kaling.
Righty-ho. Next we have Some Are More Equal Than Others by Gary Rubin. Now, since both the gentlemen have read, I will read this one. Simply to give
he has a SoundCloud.
Oh, even better. Thank you.
Okay, here we
go. What would I do without you? What would I do without you?
I shudder to say.
The Last Time I Talked to Sam by Gary Rubin. The last time I talked to Sam, she was 15. It was during halftime of a first-round basketball playoff game. I was her coach. My girls were an unexpected 16th seed. Until that season, they had never won a single game. At halftime, we were up by 8 points against the one seed. That was a high-voltage electrical surge of emotions. Nobody was more fired up than Frazier, Sam's father. Frazier practiced law defending drug addicts and drug dealers. Those from tough neighborhoods considered him one of their own. His addictive personality bathed in cocaine. But the wheels flew off that party bus. Frazier's license was suspended by the bar. A shattered life unraveled, sinking into the depths of depression. He couldn't get off the couch in his apartment. Quickly, I discovered I was the only one looking in on him. His diagnosis was personality disorder. A psychiatrist friend from my monthly poker game advised me not to get involved. Once Frazier had enough energy to get off the couch, he just might leap off of a bridge. Poker players have addictive personalities too. I went all in and Frazier recovered. Then yesterday, 21 years later, Samantha called. Eights and Aces bankrupt. It's me holding the losing hand.
Oh my goodness. What a heart-wrenching poem. Let me pick up a caller before we start commenting. Caller 512, who are we speaking with?
Oh, I think you would recognize my voice by now. Hello.
Hello, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
It's always good to be able.
And, yeah, this was very powerful poem by Gary Rubin. And I, in his author's notes, he wrote that I couldn't quite get this story edited to my satisfaction for Block Talk Radio, which was for Pam. The story is true, although I can't verify exactly what worked on in the smoke-tinted SUV. John Kerry was Obama's Secretary of State, and he was clearly a target for international terrorists at this time. The Pan Mass Challenge is a two-day charity bike ride raising money for cancer research. There are many stocked rest areas along the route with food and beverages. That is how my own weighted handlebar bag was a curiosity. Literally, no one else had one. Well, you know what? You know, with the shootings that we have here in the United States, unfortunately, anybody carrying a bag can be a scary thing, even if you have baby bottles and snacks and water in it. You know, they're going to want to stop you and look for protection of these high government officials. And, you know, still this must, you know, even though it was something that I thought I was, to me this would have been exciting.
This is not the ball that was red, dear.
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, it's not matching it?
No.
No, Gary had two up. Gary had two up. I think the second one was put up. We didn't read this one.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
this was last
so
week.
Which, let's see, the last
this
time.
This was red. This was put up last
this,
week.
Well, that's.
That's okay.
I'm going to have to go. I was talking to Phil while the video was being played because she was telling me that some another audio was put up and I had to go and check it. So I was talking to her, so my bad.
Yeah.
And Miss Katie, let's see. I'm going to see if we can, let me go look, see if we can find the correct poem. Or like
I couldn't
other.
Find
That's
it when,
the
I,
one she
when
made.
I was looking.
Okay. No, there is another one. Okay. It's a couple of poems down. So what we're going to do is we're going to replay this, you guys, so that I can listen to it and Katie, because everybody, I was not here.
Me
so
too.
I apologize. Okay, so Katie, do you see
yes.
the name Wanda Lee Brayton? It's a couple of poems down. It's you'll see Becky Upchurch,
yeah.
Chenowski, Wanda
Wet
Lee
Kenton.
Brayton.
Yeah,
cool.
And then you'll see Gary, The Last Time I Talked with Sam.
Uh-huh.
So if you would post that.
Yep.
And I will replay it so that I'm so sorry. We're going to have a double play of delicious poetry.
That's okay.
And do you
oh,
have it up, Miss Katie? Because
I do,
on the studio.
Yep.
Here we go. Apologize.
The Last Time I Talked with Sam by Gary Rubin. The last time I talked to Sam, she was 15. It was during halftime of a first-round basketball playoff game. I was her coach. My girls were an unexpected 16th seed. Until that season, they had never won a single game. At halftime, we were up by 8 points against the one seed. That was a high-voltage electrical surge of emotions. Nobody was more fired up than Frazier, Sam's father. Frazier practiced law defending drug addicts and drug dealers. Those from tough neighborhoods considered him one of their own. His addictive personality bathed in cocaine. But the wheels flew off that party bus. Frazier's license was suspended by the bar. A shattered life unraveled, sinking into the depths of depression. He couldn't get off the couch in his apartment. Quickly, I discovered I was the only one looking in on him. His diagnosis was personality disorder. A psychiatrist friend from my monthly poker game advised me not to get involved. Once Frazier had enough energy to get off the couch, he just might leap off of a bridge. Poker players have addictive personalities too. I went all in, and Frazier recovered. Then yesterday, 21 years later, Samantha called. Eights and aces bankrupt. It's me holding the losing hand.
Thank you for that wonderful audio, Mary, and for this wonderful poem that you wrote about your friend. He says, this is a true story from Names Changed, that for anyone that is suffering from depression or knows someone who is, I recommend reading the book, Why Am I Still Depressed? By Jim Phelps, MD. The book covers all kinds of psychological disorders with depression components. Phelps believes everyone falls on a spectrum on every label disorder. Frazier beat his depression and learned to function again. He died suddenly 2 weeks ago fighting cancer. Aww. I write this story, but I couldn't find the courage to hit submit. You see, while I showed up for Frazier during the lowest point in his life, it was Frazier that repaid me many times over. We talked daily for years, 3 to 5 times a week the last 10 years. Frazier always asked how I was doing, how my family, and always heard and remembered the answers. Perhaps he was less the perfect person, but he was a tried and true friend. I am ashamed to say that I focused on what support I needed to give him, but never once returned the favor by thanking him too. Rest in peace, buddy. I am truly sorry. I never put my feelings to words. You know, this touches me very deeply because when people suffer from mental illnesses or addictions, they are hard enough on themselves. And, you know, beat themselves up and don't believe in themselves. But it's amazing how much love they can show other people. And one of the things I learned from addiction that I had been reading about this year, since a lot of my friends have some type of addiction, and I've known some friends who have died recently from addiction, is that when they're going through addiction, is they don't need to be reminded that they're addicted. They know that. But to concentrate on their good qualities and to, you know, give them support when they're doing things right and allow them to be a person instead of what you see as somebody with an addiction or with a mental illness. And I do believe in love, and I do believe that love cures and it has a power of its own. And I'm so sorry, Gary, for the loss of your friend. And I'm sure as much as you want to thank him, he would thank you, because it is something that goes in a circle. Love is never ending. Miss Katie, what did you think of Gary's poem?
I am so sorry. It is terrible. I can't help but feel like you do that. We need to not always talk about what is wrong with people, but what is right with people, because it hurts. I'm sorry. I always get upset, and I do apologize, but things
matter.
No,
it's okay. I'm upset too.
It does. Yeah, exactly. It matters. People have to feel sad, because it's part of life, and they also need to know they're loved. So, very brave to put this up. And Gary, we're really pleased that you did, because it does help people to know they're not alone. And
agreed.
Thank you very much for sharing, Gary. Back to you, Lou.
Thank you. And Zach, I would like to know what your thoughts on Gary's poem is.
It was a narrative poem that read very, very much like a real-life scenario, and it is a real-life scenario, so there's no need to separate fact from fiction. So it's hard to it's a sad look at the depths of the depths and depravity of depression, drugs, and gambling, for sure. It's unflinching. is confessional, and it doesn't pull any punches. And it definitely just, I don't have a friend like that, but it just reminded me of, like, the death of Norm MacDonald, who just died a similar death. So it's just very well done, very well written.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Doc. And Laurent, I would like to know what your thoughts on Gary's poem.
This is really powerfully related. The lines that really caught me were, poker players have addictive personalities too. I went all in and Frazier recovered. Then yesterday, 21 years later, Samantha called. Eights and aces bankrupted. It's me holding the losing hand. You couple that with the lines that you read in his AN. I'm ashamed to say that I focus on what support I needed to give him, but never once returned the favor by thanking him too. A funny thing happens when someone that we know very closely and care for comes down with an illness like that. It makes us feel terrible. And sometimes what we do to make ourselves feel better is to tell the other person what we think that person needs by way of saying what makes you feel better by saying it. And that's where the problem lies, because according to him, he never focused on thanking him for what was given in return for the love. Just a great piece.
It was. Thank you. Wonderful comment. Francisco, I would like to know your thoughts on Gary's poem.
Well, this is a very powerful poem. It's left me speechless. I can definitely relate, not in the aspect of gambling, but depression, but particularly, I've said this before, but my best friend who passed away to addiction, there was so much that was said about him, many wrong things, but I took to heart and always remembered the good and kind things of him, his personality, and this, after 30, nearly 30-something years, it made me rethink that again, and I still believe in that, but you said, good qualities must always be personified, and Gary did a fantastic job with this poem. Sad to say, the loss of his friend. I'm sorry.
Agreed, and I'm sorry for the loss of your friend too, Francisco.
Thank you.
Addiction is really hard to deal with. And also mental illness, you know. Show love and get help.
Yes.
And we're back to you, Miss Katie. Thank you, Francisco.
Thank you, my dears. Okay, we're now on to Grandpa's Chair by Becky Upchurch. I've put it in the right place for the first time. I've been putting it somewhere.
You know we're only teasing you there, Weaver.
I know, my darling. You know I'm going to do it wrong anyway. It's bound to happen.
We know
just
that.
Waiting for it. Ah, dear. That's just fun. No. Right, Grandpa's Chair. I'm going to give this one a read. Okay. Right, so, but it's Uncle Herman sitting there in Grandpa's chair, looking at his sister with her new husband, some of Dad's siblings. That's Dad in the painting. He was 11 when he posed for Grandpa, his dad, who was commissioned to paint the boy David for a Jewish calendar, 1933. My brother David has the painting now. These moments live only in old photos, and family tales rich like blood can only be cherished like family memories aired only on occasion. End poem.
Oh, you did such a fabulous job in reading. Katie, there's just something about when I see old photos, and, you know, it doesn't matter how old it is, because it's talking about that this is family history. This photograph, I guess it's on one of the pages where you trace your family trees. And, you know, she's just talking about the, you know, the person sitting there just, and you can just see there, but it's Uncle Herman sitting in Grandpa's chair, looking at his sister with her new husband from the dad's siblings. And, you know, just, I love antiques, so I love to look at the furniture, the clothes. I love vintage jewelry, clocks. Oh, my gosh, I'm into clocks and books. And, you know, even the carpet, the flooring, yeah, you know. And this is just, you know, just taking us back to the past. And it was thoroughly enjoyable. I loved each stanza, her description of the family and everything. And what did you think about the poem, Zach? And you did a great read.
Oh,
Katie.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought that overall, it really just mined the purest veins of nostalgia for family history, and kind of coincided with, I guess, the history of Europe and the Jews too, and it made me think of what was going on and what was just thinking at the time, and what was going on here
mm-hmm.
too, and those two
yeah.
worlds just kind of
history.
Exist simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
and you don't see enough of this. You don't see enough of this world, so. I really appreciated the singular and kind of like indelible memories tied to the solitary chair, those domesticated moments that you just don't see in the history books. So I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Wonderful comment, Zach. How about you, Laurent?
Yeah. The past lives in old photos and remembrances. Tangible articles worn smooth or created by hands that have passed. I love the story and the tone. It's a little matter of fact, but it was colored by love and memory. Very proud tone. Love the piece.
Thank you. Excellent comments. And Francisco?
Well, you know, the poem itself was endearing. It was just incredible that he was able to be inspired by this portrait here, or actually, yeah, the painting. And I think it personifies, you know, a family, the essence of a family. You know, years can go by, but these memories that we keep within us are always there in the form of a picture, of a letter, you know, anything that makes us recall them. And it's a beautiful thing, and I think he did a fun job in just
mm-hmm.
making this memory, just portrait alive, I would say.
Yes, exactly. Excellent comment. And Miss Katie, I would love to know what you thought, and you did such a beautiful read.
Thank you. It was a lovely piece of poetry to read. I can understand this entirely. I am
mm-hmm.
the keeper of the family of Ferma, if I can't even say the word. Ephemera. I have all the black and white. I have all the black and white pictures, and I have the black and white film with no sound. You know that one they're walking on, waving at you in black and white.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Well, we have to see some of those, yeah.
Yeah, oh, you'd love them. You really would. There was one of my grandmother walking all the way up the road. This is filmed by my aunt, and then walking all the way back. That's it. That's the film. Unbelievable. So cool. She must have just got it and said, get out there and walk up and down. I want to use this. So yes, I can understand this entirely. There is something about keeping memories rich, keeping memories there and
mm-hmm.
cherishing them. Because if you don't pass them down, pass them on, they get lost. You know, we're not of the age where we used to be able to sing songs to each other to keep the memories going. Or, you know, that kind of thing doesn't happen nowadays. And people hardly talk about the past. I don't know what they're worried about. I think it's passing time worries people. But anyway, this is beautiful, and I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was very, very sweet.
Agreed. Thank you, Miss Katie. And we're ready for our next poem.
And it is With Open Eyes by Chinaski, and it has a sound cloud. I remember...
Yes, and you know what's good about that? My computer just froze. So I can't play it. So I'm gonna go see if I can get help and carry on with the reading of the poems and give me a few minutes because I gotta go get help.
No problem, my dear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Choose another poem for the meantime.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just go ahead and keep going. Yeah, keep going with the reading ones, and I will be back.
Okay. No problem. We're here. We can do this. I love computers, but they are just the death.
I have a phone.
I have a laptop and I have a PC.
I've got a laptop as well.
Yeah, I love all that though. I have all my pictures and all my stuff on that other one, and I keep this one just for fun. Right. I'm just, but this is not fun, by the way. Let me tell you that right now. I'm with you in a moment.
You need to post another boom, or do you want me to post?
I've just got one here. I have it, yes.
Okay.
That's it. It's up. It's Baby Steps by, would you be such a darling and read this for us, please? And I'll unfrazzle myself. Thank you.
It would be an honor to read Colop. It is called Baby Steps, and it goes like this. Survive, drop, edge of leaves, sing, stay put, wait for rain. Eventually your leaves fall in your seed. In a brevet, for me. What a challenge there.
I didn't want to stretch you too much, you know.
No. I'm always a good sport there.
I hadn't realised it was a brevity. I really must start reading these things before.
It took me back to the days of acting there when I had to do four lines.
Oh, I stand there all day and do four lines. That must have been dreadful. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you so much. That read was lovely. Laurent, could I ask your thoughts on this one, please?
Yes, this was a really well-chosen metaphor for survival in this tangled world we inhabit. I thought it was a very well-done brevity.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Zach, your thoughts, please.
It was an awesome brevity. I thought it was just a testament to survival. It kind of brought to mind a little bit like aging as well, kind of like surviving in the drought, in a drought rather, until your leaves fall off and your seeds root. So that brings to mind like new life, like maybe there's an oasis there. So, you know, you've won perhaps. So I like that sentiment kind of at the end, kind of tacked on. Absolutely. It was just really cool. Kind of pulled a bit of a narrative in very few lines. And that's hard to do in any piece, let alone brevity. So that was quite an accomplishment.
I agree totally. I can't wait for my leaves to fall off and my seeds to root. It'd be wonderful. Oh, dear. Oh, my. Right, has everybody commented? Apart from me, right? Yeah, me. I thought this, as you have already said, all of you, this was so clever, so well thought out. And it is exactly what you would think, you know, you'd want to know about surviving the drought. And then you have the fact that he, in so few words, managed to give you everything you wanted from that. And you've won. I love that end line. It's so cool. So you've survived, you've rooted, and you've won. You couldn't ask for more out of life, could you, really? Wonderful. Very well done. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for sharing that with us. And next we have, if I can find my way, next we have, yes. Child of Pan by Anton B. And Laurent, could I ask you to give this a read for us, please?
Yes, ma'am. Let me just refresh the board so I can find it everywhere. Child of Pan. O thou goddess of the realm divine, where angelic voices ring and chime, and deign to grace this world of man, thy form sublime, a child of Pan. How camest thou to this wayward shore, wondrous beauty as in tales of yore, with blue-gray eyes as storm-swept skies, and flowing locks as a blazing sunrise? Thine imperial visage may encapture these stalwart men held in rapture, like a blinding flash of blue-white light, held transfixed during a tempest night. O goddess, may thou stand unrivaled as the hearts of men come unbridled, for thine ethereal song holds enthralled the sons of Adam as if seraphs called. Mighty be the lords of heaven or hell, yet of thy single word may hosts impel to raise those gates to smoldering ground for thy consideration which may be found. And on that day, if they were to fall away to death's dark shore where the devils play, with heads held high to boast of thy sight, having seen heaven, yet touched not its light. End poem.
That was a wonderful read. You put so much into that. It's fabulous. Right.
Frank would have done it better justice.
Oh, not.
No.
No, not.
No, I
didn't. You are equally
good. You did a fantastic job there.
Didn't he? I liked it. All that passion put into it. Well done. Okay, Zach, your thoughts, please.
Oh, the meter and the rhyme kind of, like, were just very evenly paced and gave the poem such an epic quality feel to it. And, like, just reminded me of, like, older verse pieces, both the reading and the writing. And I love the Christian touch of it with the interplay between the angels and the devils and heaven and hell and those sorts of parallels kind of binding together. It gave the poem much depth. And told a cool narrative tale. Well done.
Thank you. That you back, my dear?
Yes, ma'am. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, cool.
So I did hear Laurent read. He did a fabulous job. I didn't get to hear it all. So was Zach the only one that you asked to comment, Katie?
Yes, Zach's the first.
Okay. And Frank, what did you think of this fabulous poem by Anton? And I will comment later.
Yes, this is a poem that takes me to mythology, that of nymphs and dryads, you know, things of that nature there. I thought the language, well, first of the language, it took me back to Shakespearean language. It was well depth, meter and rhyme. It had the cadence that was just naturally flowed. And I thought overall the piece just gave us a narrative there that could be easily written into a storyline. Great job.
Agreed. Excellent comment. Thank you. And Miss Katie, what did you think of Anton's poem?
I echo what everybody else has said. It was epic. It was that's the easy way out, you see. I thought it was very well written, and I like the these and the thous. I think we should still be using them because it's so elegant and harks back to the days when ladies wore big long dresses and men bowed.
Oh yeah.
And ladies curtsied and oh,
breeches, you mean?
Yeah.
I can't imagine myself in breeches there now, could you?
Yes. Wow, that's in my head now. That'll never go away. but of course, there is the other side of this coin. You know, these and those, and then there's the poor servants down below having to do all the manual work and all that. So it was a great life for those who had the money, as it always has
that's
been
true.
Throughout history.
Very.
Yep, those who have it, have it. Those who don't.
No,
okay,
exactly.
Yes, beautifully read. Thank you very much.
And thank you. And Laurent, I did get to hear you read the last two stanzas of this, and I loved the way you read it. It was just powerful. I would like to know your thoughts on Anton's poem.
Yeah, I'm going to agree totally with everyone, but especially with Frank, who knew exactly what to say about this piece. In terms of it being a kind of a classical piece rooted in mythology, the feeling I get from having read this and a couple of times now, it's the same feeling I get after eating a skillfully prepared and delicious dinner. Just a feeling of overall satisfaction with what has just transpired. Because look, the rhyme scheme in this is really well done. And it fits the tone and language of the poem. I mean, it really is a classic piece. I thoroughly enjoy it.
A great, fantastic comment, Laurent. And thank you for reading. Fabulous read. And we're back to you, Miss Katie. If you want to repost Chinovsky's poem, I will look for it.
Okay. I will do that little thing. One moment.
Are you able to upload the SoundCloud, Zelu?
Yes.
Okay.
I got help.
Yes, the dog. Huh?
And you know what?
Unfortunately,
I don't see SoundCloud. I see Frank, Gary, Cedar, Gary, and my intro song. I do not, let me see if I can get any lower. I can't get any lower. That's it. Oh, okay. So we will add him. We will add him the beginning of next week.
No problem. Okay. Not a problem. Back to where.
Oh, this is really a Monday, isn't it?
It's been fun. Talk about keep you on your toes.
You know what? I do not do good with spring forward. It's just like I cannot get into the rhythm of spring forward. By the time I get into it, then it's fall back and I'm happy.
We change.
We do a time change here in the United States. And how do you remember to do your clocks, Katie? As we go spring forward,
forward,
and
fall
back.
Back.
And I am not the springy type forward person.
No.
Yeah.
No.
If you reduce the size of the text, maybe you can see lower. You know, I'm serious about being able to see lower down.
Oh, he's being serious. He's being serious.
I'm being serious.
I know you are.
What the hell was so funny? I got no clue. No clue. That's why I'll never be a comedian. I don't know what's going on.
It's called lack of sleep, Laurent. Everything is almost funny except something that's going to make me cry.
I will match you lack of sleep hour for hour over the last 3 months. If I get 1 to 2 hours per night, that's good.
That is my life. That has been my life for 10 years. So
That's changing. I found a really good doctor.
Oh, good. I'm glad. It's awful. That's why I'm as mad as I am. It's not madness. It's lack of sleep.
No, it's the opposite.
I get silly with lack of sleep. Everything's silly, so... I don't even have to drink.
Absolutely.
I'm just drunk.
Absolutely.
I'm drunk on lack of
We're going to calm down. I'll send you some wine
over there.
A nice hot glass of Glühwein from Germany would sound so good right now.
Maybe it's me, but Spanish wine is a little bit better there.
Well, sangria.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Right, I have the next one up. The next one is called Nature Unveiled by Mr. G5. And if I could ask Frank, could you read this, please? I hope it's longer than the last one.
Well, it seems one or two stanzas more. Well, this is a poem called Nature Unveiled by Mr. G5. Underneath the open skies are blue, mountains, rivers, and oceans too, trees of leaves green and high, whispers of the wind passing by, meadows filled with colors bright, nature's canvas a tranquil sight, oceans with waves that ebb and flow, flowers on the ground below. Underneath the moon's soft light, stars above, shining bright. Nature's beauty, plain and true, a serene spectacle in every view, in the poem.
You did a lovely read of Mr. G5.
Nature boy.
I got to say this, I really enjoyed this. You know, the way that, to me, nature... To me, I find peace and rest and absorb the energies, you know, and this was just so beautifully rhymed. It was just absolutely delightful. Just to have the appreciation underneath the open sky so blue, mountains, rivers, and oceans too, trees with leaves, green and high, whispers of the wind passing by. Isn't the wind a breeze, ocean breeze, a river breeze, the mountain breeze? I'll take any breeze in nature I can get. I'm greedy for nature. It just gives me a high in just the beds, the flowers, you know, the sounds of the ocean. Just enrapture me. This was just beautiful moonlight. Ooh, oh yes. Oh, beautiful. And I really enjoyed the read. Thank you so much, Francisco. What did you think of this gorgeous poem by Mr. G5, Miss Katie?
Oh, like you, I am a sucker for nature. I do think it's absolutely, obviously, what would we be without it? Dead, presumably. But I love the wind. I have always walked out in the wind. It doesn't matter whether it's raining or not. Because you can see where the wind is. The wind tells you where it is because it bends the trees and it bleeds and it rustles through the grass and you can see it moving. I love that. I think that's just so, for me, it's a kind of a personal friend. I highly rate it. You should go out in the wind and feel all the cobwebs blow away. And then hug a tree. That's all I'm saying. That's it. That's all you have to do.
Well, the tree had to hug you first there.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't that be great if it did?
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Mind you, I do climb them as well. So maybe I am getting hugged. At least I used to climb them. I'm saying I climb them. I haven't climbed a tree for 10 years. I was told off in a park for climbing a tree, so I haven't done it for a while. Honestly, I'm a mad woman.
Well,
but this is beautiful. As you said, Luyu, that it encapsulates everything that you'd want to know and feel about the nature and what's going on outside. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that.
Agreed. Wonderful comment, Miss Katie. And what did you think, Zach, of Mr. G5's poem?
I thought it was fantastic. Just a lovely tour of, different biomes, nature's biomes under the sun and under the moon, kind of alternating. A bit of a peaceful Hallmark photo in the day, and then reverting back to, basking in the moonlight at night for the nocturnal setting. So very very interesting day-night cycle going on there, kind of like a duality, and I really enjoyed that for nature. Yeah, well done.
Mm-hmm. Great comment. Thank you, Zach. And how about you, Nora?
Well, I really like the piece. The title, Nature Unveiled, is almost deliberately ironic, almost sarcastic, because nature is not veiled. Their eyes are.
No.
So we have to look that far away from our eyes. And what are we left with? Nature unveils. I like the way that works. And when he says a serene spectacle in every view, it truly was. I got to thank him for the imagery. And there's a reminder that beauty surrounds us if we will simply observe it. Well done.
Agreed. And I think a lot of people have lost their touch with nature because, even in concrete cities, you can see flowers bloom through the concrete and stuff. And I've seen just people, they just walk by, ignore it. So, we can't live without Mother Nature, so please take care of her. Thank you, Laurent. And how about you, Frank?
Well, this is a
great read.
Poem. Yeah, I appreciate that. This was a beautiful poem. It was an honor to read it. I agree with what Laurent was saying. This is just, it just captures the essence of Mother Nature. And what you said just right now, it is a sadness that we don't appreciate the gravity of Mother Nature. I used to look a lot of the stars, at night. Unfortunately, I don't do that much now. But I do always appreciate when I can see the stars, see the moon, see the sun. These things are, we should not take for granted. What wonderful sights we have to view. When we no longer are here, they'll still be there. It was a great poem. Hello?
Thank you, Frank. I'm
okay.
Here. Can you hear me?
I thought I was lost.
Thank you, Frank.
Yes. I thought I was lost.
Okay. No, you're fine. Back to I was on mute and I couldn't unmute. Back
no,
to you, right. Miss Katie.
Okie doke. And now we have Between Crescent and Sunrise by Cedar Chapman. And Zach, could I ask you to read this for us, please?
I think there's an audio for him. Yeah, there's an audio.
I don't see an audio.
It's okay. A problem.
Yeah, right onto the poem.
It's,
yeah.
So let me go ahead and play it.
Between Crescent and Sunrise by Cedar Chapman. Foamy brine meanders along the shoreline. With every step, sand squishes between my toes as each sole prints a familiar trail. How the ocean waves stir my senses. My mind, a silent orpheum, waiting to be filled by the symphony of your voice. Absent moments are ingrained in each passing of the tide, like the final breaths of a fading sun, hanging on the hearth of twilight. Blackness melts into mauve and scatters sparkles across the horizon. A vast emptiness that sucks the air from my lungs. Our thoughts entwined, tangles between the light of the crescent moon and tepid sunrise. Each languished message dusted on opposite skies. I stare deep into the void, looking for sails to peek above the long flat line so I may touch your thoughts. Close my eyes. Inhale every syllable. Hands locked. Pattering to the sea. Waiting on dusk and dawn. Until the day we embrace again.
Oh, that was a beautiful audio by Cedar Chapman. In his author's notes, he says, in this poem, I wanted to share a moment where the narrator is writing a love letter to someone he's recently met but lives far away. You know, the imagery in here is just breathtaking. What was some of it that it said? That absent moments are ingrained in each passing of the tide, like the final breaths of a fading sun hanging on the hearth of twilight. I thought that was so beautiful. And then another one that I thought was beautiful. Our thoughts entwine, dangle between the light of the crescent moon and tepid sunrise, each languid message dusting on opposite skies. You know, this is just gorgeous imagery. And I thought it was just beautiful. You know, I see that he got a honorable mention by Kevin, and he also got a front page pick, so I want to congratulate him. This is just gorgeous. And what did you think, Miss Katie?
I agree. This was wonderful. I love this. The sand squishes between my toes as each soul prints a familiar trail. It's lovely, isn't it? It's like walking in the snow. You like to see your own footprints showing where you have been and now where you're going. I love it. And then up comes the waves and washes it all away. But still, you know, you've had a wonderful time. Ah, like the final breath of a fading sun hanging on the hearth of twilight. Mm-hmm. That is just so pretty. So pretty. I really enjoyed this. I thought it, and the SoundCloud that I didn't know was there was absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad that you told me about it and told me that, you know, it was there because it was great. He's got so much.
It was.
Yeah, in his voice, he does it so, so well. I mean, every syllable, beautiful. Oh, inhale every syllable.
Agreed.
I just saw that. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And Zach, what did you think?
Just a beautiful beach setting, kind of illustrated by the speaker as he trots through the sand and the footprints kind of appear and disappear. The ocean kind of morphs into another form, which I did not expect, the form of another person. I thought it was going to be a nature piece, but it kind of very clear that the speaker intended this to be a love piece, and it was a very well-written love piece at that. Well done.
It was. Thank you so much, Zach. Excellent comment. And Laurent, I'd like to know your thoughts.
There's a lot to admire with this particular piece. That first stanza that introduces us to the scene, and then how he begins to use emotions against descriptions the ocean waves that stir his senses, give us the symphony of the voice. Absent moments are shown to us as the passing of the tide, the final breaths of a fading sun. That blackness that becomes the emptiness that sucks the air from his lungs, that emptiness when the person that we love is not near us. And he thinks about thoughts entwining, calls them languished messages, dusted on opposite skies, which define the separation between them. I just really, really admired how he wrote this, his tone, his language, and his form.
Thank you, Laurent. Excellent comment. And Laurent? No. Francisco.
You're going to call Laurent.
There you go.
Yes, Laurent. Yes. You're confusing me. You're confusing me.
One of us is going to have to change his name.
Getting back to the poem, yeah. This poem was like an ode for me. It was very reverential as well. You know, it took me back to, looking at, reading back in the old poems of Shelley. So this type of ambience, you know, the type of romanticism that existed in the early 1800s. And it really took me to that scope there, you know, the background and all that with Nate, you know, the crescent moon, the sunrise. But I thought the last line, very indicative, the last stanza there, that so I may touch your thought to close my eyes, you know, until the day we embrace again. This was just a very reverential piece. It was beautiful. And in the song called I Agree, it was very, very much, the intonation was very much in tune with the sentiments expressed in this poem.
Agreed. Thank you for a lovely comment. And we're back to you, Miss Katie, and we're into open poetry now.
We sure are, says she, remembering to unmute herself. This is disassociating her death again by our very own Zach. Would you care to read that for us?
Sure. Absolutely. Disassociating her death again. Pneumonia squeezed lighter fluid in her lungs, brewed behind double sets of closed doors, dropped the mats 3 weeks from her deathbed, a trail of gunpowder ignites 3 weeks away, fermented in a rotten white room for 2 weeks, struggling not to strangle on snot, watered and sickened in chest incubation chambers, sparks start trailing to her last couch breath slow, traveling a slow crawl, exploding in her closed mouth, hitting its mark, sending me crashing to the floor, bloated but not unbroken, stifled bored, rigor mocks the still form, her inner mixture growing rancid, skin-colored light ashen gray, blanched as a dark elephant. Within a week, her death shoves a stone pillar sword bashing daylight out of my skull, dark black hands reach in, scrambling my senses, eyes popping wide, pupils fixate on the wall, trembling like fire. I stare there until sunrise. Snaps me out, surprised, dreaming countless nightmares awake. End poem.
Zach, this is powerful. Grief, you know, I can't say that grief ever fades because it doesn't. You know, even when you're going through life, because you don't literally think about this every day, but there's always something, some place that you drive by or you spent with, or, you know, certain, you know, like my grandmother, she used to go to this bakery, and every time I see, because she was from Spain, a Hispanic bakery, and I smell the bread baking, and it just brings up memories. You know, I even though I still see her alive, I also see her in her, you know, her deathbed where she died. And, you know, we were with her, you know, last few minutes breath. And, you know, that's, you know, I don't know how to say I'm so sorry. I don't know how to tell anybody to let go, because you can't forget somebody you loved so much. And I am so sorry that you feel this depth of sadness, because, you know, it, like you said, within a week her death shoves a stone pillar sword bashing daylight out of my skull. You don't stop missing them. And, you know, and if this is how you release your pain, then keep writing, you know, write your grief, because it is a way that we can express the pain that we feel in losing somebody. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Zach. Powerful poem. Miss Katie, I would like your comments on Zach's poem.
Oh, well, I mean, this is pain. And basically, you've got it by the throat, and you're not letting it go. And I don't blame you in the slightest. Somebody somewhere has to be kicked. Whoever thought that it was going to be easy to somebody has got to be mad. You can't just shut it off. And the whole point of it is that while they're there in your thoughts and your heart, they're there. And that's how you keep them, and that's how you hold them. I know about it too well, too much in my lifetime of my family. So I can appreciate how you feel, totally. And it's not easy. By God, it's not easy, mm-hmm. but you're doing what you need to do. You're doing what is right for you. And it does help. It really does help to know that other people know what's going on in your life, and they also know that they're not alone. So well done, and thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And Hope Sog. Hi, Hope. Welcome. It's so good to see you. Amazing peace. It was dark in a way that one wouldn't associate a mourning, and that's what I really like about it. Thank you, Hope, for your comment. And Laurent, I would like to know what you thought of Zach's poem.
Pneumonia squeezed lighter fluid in her lungs, brewed behind double sets of closed doors, dropped the match 3 weeks from the deathbed, a trail of gunpowder ignites 3 weeks away. This opening stanza is brutally beautiful. The imagery is powerful, but the sense of time, especially, brilliantly accomplished. Bravo for the right, respect and sadness for the loss that you preoccupied.
Thank you, Laurent. And Francisco, I would like to know your thoughts.
Yeah, this was a very powerful piece here. Of course, the moral of the piece here is very much reflected throughout each line. It reminded me a bit of Poe's Annabel Lee, you know, to some regard. It just was wonderfully crafted. The pain, the emotions, and the loss are so conveyed in this poem by the poet, who did a fantastic job just conveying to us the pain that is felt with the loss of a loved one.
Thank you, Francisco. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you,
back to you,
everyone.
Thank you. Would you like to say anything about your poem?
Only if anyone's commented, sure. It was a very cathartic piece for me to write, a very recent piece. It was last night, and it was hard for me to pass last night because of my back, and I just wrote through the pain and came up with this, just thinking about the upcoming funeral and her funeral on the 17th. So, once again, you know, bringing up all these memories and yada, yada, yada. You know, so, yeah, thanks for, that's besides the point, just thanks for the, thank you very much for the acknowledgement.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And back to you, Miss Katie.
Thank you. And now we have As a Youth by our very own Laurent Ivan. So I wonder if you could give this a read for us, please, Laurent.
Yeah, certainly. I've had an awful lot of trouble writing anything at all over the last several months, perhaps. And I've found through experience that sometimes I just got to fall back on simplistic rhyme and nothing serious. So that's what we have here. As a youth.
Okay.
As a youth, a weak bit of flesh was I, attracted by her come hither look. One glance in my direction, she had read me like a book. Such a lady's passion flowed like wine, and I wished to drink my fair share. Bouquet promised to be most unique, aromatically quite rare. I approached, smiled, and inquired as to the state of the lady's grace. I offered my hand, one finger extended, a metaphor she embraced. A lady of action, she swept me away to her private boudoir of stairs. I thought briefly of a spider, cleverly luring the prey to her lair. However, once inside, I relaxed, not quite sure of what I should say. Great size of her bed was daunting. Dressed as it was in silk enflammé, I felt a hand grasp around me, assessing the girth of her prize, an intake of breath and a squeeze, as she almost purred in surprise. This robe, so that I might admire the man I am bringing to sire. Now, certain words perplex, and sire makes me perspire. Laughing at the look on my face, she quickly stripped off my clothes, and we set forth on the sea in her bed, raising all sail, full canvas exposed. Like garlands draped around my neck, live legs encircled around me, I mouthed my psalms with enthusiasm while she sang her siren soliloquy. We swam nearly all seven seas, cataloging wonders along the way, to the depths of darkest ocean, to the white of the wind-borne spray. And so, left me the old man I am, a bit weather-beaten around the gills. I feel my 75 years every day, but my lady still tends to my ills. Praise God, by hook or by crook, we ain't yet forgot how to give each other the chills. End poem.
Oh. Laurent, I've got to say, yeah. I really enjoy your tales of youth. You know, you start off with, as a youth, a weak bit of flesh was I, attracted by her come hither look. That just reminded me the come hither look, you know, the romantic hot movies from the 60s with Brigitte Bardot. One glance in my direction, and she had read me like a book. Such a lady's passion flowed like wine, and I wished to drink my fair share. A bouquet promised to be the most unique. Aromatically, oh, I told you, I'm tongue-tied today. Aromatically quite rare.
Aromatically.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I had to.
I had to put the syllables.
I don't know. I just messed up today, but that's okay. I still love poetry. I can read, but I can't pronounce it. I read it out loud. You know, your storytelling is so fabulous. You know, it's like, you know, I start hearing that commercial, anticipation, it's making you wait, and you make us wait as you take us through your storytelling, which I really love. You know, laughing at the look of my face, she quickly stripped off my clothes, and we went forth on the sea of her bed, raising all sail, full canvas exposed. See, I didn't get my tongue tied there.
Yeah.
And then you go into, and so, it's left me the old man I am, a bit weather beaten around the gills. I sow my 75 years every day, but my lady still tends to my ills. You know what? Having taken quite a few men when I was in my candy striping and in my early 20s, any man over 75 has no problem failing their self. So, I really enjoyed your poem, Laurence, and now I'm and your read, because you know I love to hear you read. I'm going to let Katie give us some comments on this fabulous storytelling by Laurence.
Are you sure? I don't know if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to hear what you got, girlfriend. I want to hear what
you got. Oh, my goodness. I will tell you this, Laurence, without any hesitation, you have no problem giving people chills. You've given me chills. That's for sure. I really loved it. I like this playful side of you. It's so cool. And I really enjoyed this. But unfortunately, you are painting little pictures in my brain. Man, what are you doing? It was cool. And I really enjoyed it. So well done. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Sorry.
And Zach, what are your thoughts on Laurence's poem?
I thought it was a fantastically lighthearted tale of seduction enacted by a lovely, worldly seductress on a wonderfully funny and raunchy world tour. And it reminded me something out of Step Brothers or Wedding Crashers, but way more mature, decidedly mature and certainly funny. Reminded me of those nautical scenes of those movies, and it was a very lighthearted yet delightfully raunchy piece, which I very much enjoyed. So, yeah, well done.
Thank you, Zach.
And Francisco, I would love to know your thoughts.
Well, you know, those southern seas can be dangerous there, Laurent. I thought I'd have to send you an SOS.
Message in a bottle.
There you go. This poem is just essentially what Laurent's creativity is, where he really decides to write. You know, set aside the employment in this piece here, I really enjoyed the narration that was provided here. And, of course, the seductive nature that's provided as well. You know, Laurent gives us seduction, but he also is classy enough to use these metaphors in the correct place to entice us even more. And, you know, I have to say, Laurent, you got me on this piece here, because those seven C's, I've been wondering if I have to reach those seven C's yet. Hopefully one day I'll be able to do that. I'm a macho there.
It's large lakes too.
Yeah.
And Laurent, would you like to say anything about your poem?
I wrote it on March 6th.
Oh.
As my birthday poem.
Aww. Happy birthday, Laurent.
Cool. Happy birthday, my friend.
Happy birthday.
75 years is a goddamn long ass time.
Okay. 75 years young.
Now, yeah. Katie, on the other hand, I think she's got me.
No, you're actually a year older than me. Yay!
Really? Oh, man.
So sorry.
Well, look at it, you know,
bitch.
Every fire can be re-stoked.
You bet your fucking dollar.
Yeah, you bet
your
bottom.
Yeah, Katie and I know how to rub real hard to create sparks.
Oh, my goodness.
Take
fantastic voice there now, Laurent.
You know, even that made my face turn red, Laurent.
Take it to the seven seas.
That is so funny. You've stolen my crown. I was always the oldest, God damn it. I don't like this at all.
Well, respect your elders, madam.
No, that's not going to happen.
Oh,
no. Oh, I love
it.
That's old.
Well,
that's
we want to wish you happy birthday, Laurent.
Yes, happy birthday, Laurent.
Happy birthday.
Well, say to the man,
and we're,
Laurent.
And we're
so
ready.
Oh, dear. Sorry. I'm going to be serious now.
And
right.
Hope said about your poem that it was very charming and blush-worthy, right? See, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
Robbie said, but getting your tongue tied is so fun. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
okay.
Back to you, Miss Katie.
Yes. Thank you, my dear. Now, hold on to your... Hold on to your what? Hold on to your seatbelts, because we've got A Darkled Shade of Mystery by our very own Frank. And would you... Oh, we have a SoundCloud. Yeah, we have a SoundCloud.
Yes, we do.
Yay! Cool.
And here we go.
Here you go, for you too.
A darkled shade, a mystery shrouds the clouds of horrific secrets. Over the old grounds of the soot and grime of the St. Mary's Church, where the piles of snow cover the cold grass of the parches beyond an English garth, and the whispers of evil whistle ruffling the cracking boughs of trees. Deep echoes of a haunting noise reverberate suddenly into the daunting voice of a wraith of an abominable curse. And the blackbirds watch the fainting remnants of daylight fade into the dreaded gloom of the horizon of the blinding morrow. Eagerly, they flap their wings in their haste and departure, as the corbins from the cemetery arrive to usher in the night. The image of death and care glow with the glisten of the moon. When the hour of midnight strikes and the church bells ring. Through the curtains look on the wandering shadow that feeds on fear. The columns of the interior church awaken the crushing dust of legends. Listen for the sounds that shatter the walls that shook the earth. And listen to the ghastly breath of the red hue of blood and burning fire. Listen.
Ooh.
Listen to her voice.
Goodness, Francisco, your dramatic voice is just amazing. You sound mad. Let me tell you, if I heard anybody talking like that in the wind, I'd been gone in 1 second flat. in the opposite direction.
That's what an actor.
Yes,
that's
but still, it's horrifying. You sound mad. You know, that is just, that just sends chills up my spine. You know, eagerly they clap the rings in their haste and departure as the Corbins from the cemetery arrive to usher in the night. The image of death and terror glow with the glisten of the moon when the hour of midnight strikes. And the church bell rings. Okay, I will tell you right now, I am a chicken. If I see a shadow, anything moving, any weird voices, I am faster than the Roadrunner. I will be so out of there. This is fabulous. Oh, my goodness. Fabulous. Katie, what did you think?
Boo.
Tell us
exactly
what you think today, Katie.
Oh, my God. No.
Oh, my goodness me. You did not get me with a laugh. I knew it was going to come. I knew there was going to be that laugh. So you didn't get me, but you got me with the other bit afterwards. Brilliant.
Well,
this was so creepy. What are you doing to us? I'm going to have nightmares, man. Oh. I'll be jumping at every shadow. I'll be leaping about when the cats squall outside. I won't sleep. I just won't bother sleeping. And that way you can't get to me. It was wonderful. I always enjoy it. But this was a cracker. This was so cool. Oh, my. Eagerly they flap their wings in their haste and departure as the corpse from the cemetery arrived to usher in the night. Don't usher in the night. For God's sake, no. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Thank you so much. And don't do it again.
No.
I will try.
Oh, no.
You bad boy. Get in that corner.
You know, if you called me on a prank call like that, I would be terrified.
But, you know, really quick here. I get harassed a lot over here. The phone, you know, people who call on the phone and that, just leave messages and so be it. I got to the point where I leave on my answer machine that voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I have 5-tone range of voices.
That's funny.
I have five tone of ranges of my voice. I can do.
Oh my goodness, they must be so scared. Can you imagine? Don't phone that man. Don't, he'll come
and get
you.
Well, she doesn't mind. She's used to that already. Well, she's heard me do some SoundCloud so many times.
I guess most of them click off. Do they click? They click off
very quickly.
Oh,
they
hang
up?
Indeed. Yes.
Everybody else now.
Oh no!
Nightmares, I tell you.
Agreed.
If I can say just really brief. Pretty brief. This is an actual poem that's actually based on a legend there, and it's about, if you get a chance, scroll down and look for St. Mary's Church. It's located in England. This was a poem that I was inspired by an urban legend there, so of an actual ghost who existed in the parish itself. You know, this was actually, it was inspired by an urban legend.
Wow.
Excellent.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look
scroll
at that.
Down
well
and you
done.
Hear the little video. The video at the bottom, you can pretty much, it says about, if I'm not mistaken, about that legend.
Excellent. Somewhat. Thank you. I will look.
Okay.
Thank you. And Zach, what are your remarks on this fabulous poem by Francisco?
It was a chilling, screaming graveyard of a piece told in whispering gasps, almost exalted tones that fit the Lovecraftian cadence of the narrative, almost like Poe-like as well, and the sense of the setting being in a graveyard. You know, it's like the redundancy, supposedly, but it's not redundant. It's definitely indelible within that category. But what I mean is there's no aliens there. It's just the living dead and evil laughter. And, really well done.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Agreed. Excellent comment. And Laurent, what did you think?
You know, sometimes you read a poem where the language is so delicious that you don't read it silently to yourself. You actually read it out loud to yourself. And this is really one such thing. I know we're probably short on time, so I'm not going to take the time to read the entire last stanza. But this is really Victorian horror at its finest. I mean, it's right up there with any of that era's poets who write in the genre. It's pitch-perfect darkness. It's rendered so eloquently and expertly on the SoundCloud. His imagery is in high definition.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that.
Agreed.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Frank, the only way I can figure that you can come up with that voice is to try and remember the very worst pain that you ever had from hemorrhoids.
I've got my voice for that one, Dan.
Oh my goodness! Don't push!
How low can you go?
Oh,
that's a horrible pain.
That.
You will.
I'd have to squeal. I'd have to squeal, Dad. Wrong.
Yeah, I think it would be more of a higher pitch. Oh, yeah.
Oh my God!
Oh my goodness. Okay, we're ready for our next
one.
I gotta stop.
I'd have to do my Prince voice, my Michael Jackson voice imitation next time then.
Please do. Okay. Right, under control, people. We're under control.
All right.
Right, we have Shadows. Too much damn merriment, that's all I'm saying. We have Shadows by Jack Tomkovic. And Zach, for this time, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure. Shadows by Jack Tomkovic. Shadows creep along walls and corners, make mysterious shapes, hissing snakes, spiders with sticky webs, werewolves howling, vampires seeking pulsing veins. Shadows creep. End poem.
What, this is the first time I've seen a brevity by Jack Tomkovic, and I love this. He talks about spooky things. You know, I really love the unknown and some sounds that go bump in the dark, okay? My genre is the old school. Vampires, werewolves, mummy. You know, that type of old-fashioned, you know, that they've modernized, but this other stuff that, you know, they have with slashes and stuff, I can't get into it. But I did like where, you know, this almost sounds Halloween-like, you know, where he says, make mysterious shapes, hissing snakes, spiders with sticky webs. And, of course, I like werewolves howling, vampires seeking pulsing veins. Ooh, pulsing veins. Yes. That's more my style. Excellent read, Zach, and excellent brevity, Jack. Let's get some compliments. Comments, Miss Katie?
Oh, I agree. This was just a delight, Jack. I like Lou, you said, I really enjoyed that kind of aspect of the creepiness. Not so much the spiders, although I was a spider once, but I was a funnel web spider, and I was wicked.
Those do bite.
Oh, I know. I bit everybody. 35 kills I got. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was virtually impossible to defeat.
Wicked lady.
I wasn't difficult to defeat. Somebody just stood on me. Oh, kidding me. Anyway, werewolves.
Sheelob, you were Sheelob.
Oh! Where did you come from? What the heck?
Whoa.
You remember
that
Sheelob?
Was really deep.
Yes.
Even when you sound scary. Even when you sound scary, Laurent, you just got sound sexy. Just all sexy.
Fear and sex combined aren't a bad thing, though.
I'm saying nothing.
True.
Well,
true.
The emperor is here. Emperor mm-hmm. is here.
La, 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 la. Okay. I'm trying to get myself back in the zone of shadows coming at me from God knows where. So I do. I really love this one. This is creepy. Stop laughing. This is creepy, and it's vampire-ish, which I adore vampires. I mean, come on, those teeth. How could you possibly not love those teeth? And pulsing veins. No, thank you. So, beautifully done. Thank you so much, Jack, for sharing that with us. It was very good and very, very creepy. So, thank you.
Mm. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
Well, I think that Jack has channeled every 9-year-old's worst fears. When you're 9, you've read, at least dabbled with Frankenstein, Dracula. You're a little uncertain as to whether or not these things are possible or not. And fear of the dark and other things will lead you to believe that there are things out there that you will fear. I just thought about myself at that age. These are all the emotions that creep into play when you're in a strange place at night.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And Francisco, what did you think of that?
Horrifyingly
done. All right. You want me to respond in my regular voice?
Yes.
Yes, please.
All right. I'm just having teasing you.
I have nightmares like Miss Katie.
Oh. I have to ring on your door there for that. I thought this was... I thought this poem really, you know, I like the wrong thing. So there you go. It reminds me of what Laurent just said. When you're a kid, you're a child. You really are so susceptible to your own, you know, what you conjure in nightmares and what you see on the telly. And I think that Laurent's poem really just has the overtures of what we fear, you know, the shadows, you know, the werewolves, the vampires. And I can only say spiders. I don't know much there about funnel webs there, Katie, because I've never seen one. I've seen tarantulas. I've had them. So I'm assuming this piece is in the shadow.
I'll send you the link to the piece of poetry because it was part of a contest. So I'll send it to you. So anyway. Sorry, carry on.
That's fine. And Zach, you did a fabulous read of his brevity. What did you think? Thank you, Francisco.
I thought it was fantastic. The shadows dancing on the wall. You see them in the dark, kind of twisting and turning, and you got to try to make sense of them. Why though? I don't know why. It's just kind of there as these shadows, but that's what we have. They kind of like demonstrate your worst fears been brought to life kind of on a dark canvas. You see them kind of like bookended by creeping shadows, the first and second line, or first and last line rather. So it kind of compresses all of this imagery into one kind of chapter or vignettes rather. But the stanzas were really well written, and I hope to see more of this kind of thing in the future.
Thank you. And we only have one poem left in open poetry. Then we'll go back to Front Page Picks for the last 15 minutes. I cannot believe we've almost been on here 2 hours. Y'all are fabulous.
Okay, which one have I missed? I'll find it.
Miss Hatz, the top one.
Oh, yeah. That was a gone past to do the audios. Yeah. Sudden silence. I'll be with you in a moment. Got it. Yay. Oh, it's Hat's one. How could I possibly miss that? That's terrible. Okay. So we'll be done 2 seconds. And how do you feel about doing a little bit of reading?
Will try. Yes. Yeah. Because it's towards the end of the program.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we have Ordinary Life by Hatz.
Thank you. Ordinary Life by the poet Hatz. A house breathes the calm of an early summer evening. Taj Mahal in the speakers is checking up on his baby. And he checks up on me. I melt his glaze. A scent of blackberries wine tickles my nostrils, pizza sticks crunching under my feet. Smile. My bare feet beg the earth for mercy, for more days when the dew glistens on the cobwebs. Twilight falls into the window and breaks the light into small pieces, the last tremors of the day. His red wine lips conveyed by my hips the first tremors of me. An end of the summer tastes like Scottish whiskey. It burns on the tongue, the same as his kisses on the porch. The dawn settles on the ground like a lover's embrace. A rooster crows. Summer slumbers in the fallen leaves. Autumn sings in its song in the breeze, and a fog creeps on the gray sidewalks. Yet the house breathes the calm of an early autumn morning in Palm. And she wrote this to a song. This is beautiful.
Nice job.
Comments. Thank you. Miss Katie?
Oh, yes. That was
love to know
read.
Your comments.
It was beautifully read. Thank you so much. I didn't realize it was quite as long. Sorry about that. But I think this was just the sweetest thing. My bare feet beg the earth for mercy for more days when the dew glistens on the cobwebs. Twilight falls into the window and breaks the light into small pieces, the last tremors of the day. Is that not just amazingly wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
The last tremors of the day, that is so well written. And then we have, obviously, the rest of it is just wonderful. But I do like the aspect of the Scotch whiskey coming into this. It makes
mm-hmm.
me feel like I want one right now. But, yeah, beautifully done.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Miss Katie.
Thank you.
That's true because, you know, you get that burn and sometimes somebody's just burns your mouth and lights you on fire. I agree with that comment, Katie. And
thank you.
Zach, what did you think of Hat's poem?
I thought it was fantastic. Just the dawn breaking in the windows reminded me, I mean, it was like the aftermath of like an early morning love scene. Taj Mahal kind of drew me in initially after that initial summer breeze and ended in that autumn morning. So I like the sense of time that kind of was conveyed there. And the love scene that was going on in between those two bookends of time. It was very touching and sweet and well-written. And, it was a great write. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Excellent comment. And what did you think, Laurent?
Katie took my thunder. She quoted what I was going to quote. The twilight falls into the window and breaks the light into small pieces, the last tremors of the day. Like Katie, I was really, really struck by that one. Excuse me. Another one that really worked for me was an end of summer taste, like Scotch whiskey. It burns on the tongue, the same as kisses on the porch. What struck me all throughout this poem was the imagery. It was really breathtaking. The imagery that she uses in here, in every stanza, it's pretty much as good as anything you're going to find. I thought it was an outstanding piece.
Agreed. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Laurent. And Frank, what did you think of Hat's poem?
Yes, I too was into the image there of the Taj Mahal. Then it just took off into much better imagery. You know, the scent of blackberry wines, the notion of the twilight falls. But my favorite lines were the red lips, wine lips conveyed by my hips, the first tremor. This is a very, it has eroticism, It has romanticism, and it's just overall a damn good piece.
Mm-hmm. You know, the imagery in here is spectacular. It's just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I liked some of the same stanzas that Weaver brought out, but I also enjoyed the same stanzas that, see, I'm tongue-tied today, stanzas that Lawrence just read, but another one that I liked was "My bare feet beg for mercy, for more days when the dew glistens on the cobwebs." You know, that is just, you know, the feel of the earth is, you know, to me is so sensual. And to see the dew on flowers like Japanese clovers or in the morning grass or in cobwebs, it's just strikingly beautiful, and it glistens just like diamonds. But I did love where she said, you know, "His red wine lips conveyed by my hips the first tremors of me." You know, that taste of that whiskey in his mouth and that burn and that kiss. And then, you know, when the tremors and the electricity that shoots through your body, you know, this was deeply sensual as it was deeply beautiful with such her nature's imagery was spectacular. I enjoyed this very much, and I wish her the best of luck in her contest. And we're back to you, Miss Katie. I think we have time for one more.
Okay, I have up "A Little About Being" by Ferdus Parvet, and I will give this one a read because I've done nothing tonight. "A Little About Being." I need to get a new body, something to slip into, unimaginable tight spaces, narrow minds and small hearts. You care too much about facades and pretenses and hold me culpable for this disaster of being. My being, this that I am, why I am this that I am, so I need a new body, become somebody, anybody, damn it, everybody else." End poem.
Ah, you know, I really enjoyed this poem, and congratulations on this front page pick, you know, because people, to me, are so narrow-minded, you know. Back in the Rome days, a full-bodied woman was somebody that was gorgeous and taken care of. Also, we have in, you know, Hollywood times with Marilyn Monroe and many of the other actresses that were full-bodied was also attractive. And now, you know, what people are finding attractive is a stick of gum that's just flat and square and just, you know, just, you know, I, you know, they do. They think too much about it. You know, they make seats like nobody has any meat on them, whether it's a man or a woman. And I'm not talking about somebody that, you know, maybe that's obese. I'm just talking about normal sized people with curves and weight and muscle. You know, some people do have tushies, you know. You know, what can I say? You know, small waist, big hips, and, you know, junk in the trunk, like they say. And, you know, and we've forgotten, you know, to self-love. I, you know, too many TV commercials, too many Twitter, too much Facebook, where teenage girls are being, you know, verbally abused by society because what they deem as perfection is not you. And, you know, we have to learn to love ourselves, and we have to be able to, you know, to me, see past that small mind thinking. And I thought this was wonderfully raw, and I really enjoyed this. What did you think, Miss Katie?
I agree with you totally. We full-bodied lasses need to stick together.
Yes.
Stand up and be counted.
Agreed.
I thought this was wonderful. I thought this was a cry for, you know, for real people, real women, real, you know, lives, We're not, as you say, sticks of chewing gum. We're not. That is just a Photoshop. That is just somebody's idea of what we should look up to. And we don't look up to it. We look at it and we go, and that's it. So thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you.
Yeah, I just do my own thing. I don't care what you guys say.
Yep.
Well, that's it. Well, we're not telling you anything.
No, but you know, there's something in variety. It's just that I, even if you're a healthy body weight, you still can have a rear end that's not going to fit in the hole, you know? And you have to grease your hips before you get pushed through a door or something. Zach, what do you think?
I just thought it was fantastic. It was very, like the feeling of not being, like the feeling of being judged unwantedly by such using such a defiant tone throughout. It's like needing a new body full of these false pretenses and facades and assumptions. It's just so exhausting, it sounds like. And seeing through all this, this just reminds me of like all the bullshit perpetuated by the patriarchy. For sure. And it's just really, really annoying. And more than that, but understatement of the century. Well done.
Agreed. Yeah, don't judge me. You know, I'm that type of person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are you to be judging me? Say what?
You can't tell me what to do.
No, exactly. And Laurent, what did you think?
Well, I agree with everyone's comments, but I also couldn't help but think of a song called Chalk Outlines by Ren Gill, when he says, I'm still here. Hello.
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 Yeah, we can hear
Hello.
You. We
yes.
can hear you.
Somebody
yes.
muted me.
We can hear you.
Okay. All right. I agree with everybody's comments. But it also brings to mind the lines, I'm still here in this bed that I crawled in. I hope that I'm someone else in the morning. It's from a song called Chalk Outlines by Ren Gill. Sometimes we just want to be anybody else.
Good point. Yeah, you know, that is true. Excellent point. But I like being me, you know. And Francisco, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll be brief. I thought the poem really personified really what goes on with today's society, in particular for youth. You know, so much of the internet, so much of media, and so much all of this is just makes this type of thing relevant. And I agree with you. I think I do believe that we all have beauty in us in all forms of our natural bodies. When we go beyond the natural body, then we seek for aesthetic beauty.
Yeah, you know, there's just, you know, we only have 90 seconds left, you know. Just learn to love yourself and learn to love others for who they are and what they are.
I agree.
You know, I think we'll be a lot happier if we, instead of pointing out everything that we can find wrong, because we can do that ourselves. Okay, I don't need you to be pointing it out to me.
Agreed.
You know, just show some love. There's not much out there, so you know, show some love. And I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Katie, Zach, Laurent, Frank, Robbie, and Hope for hanging out with us tonight. I love you guys. We'll be back here next Monday. Come back. Because you know, Katie, and I just love you men. Ooh, handsome poets. I love your voice.
Even,
yes, please come back.
Even my split ego. So I bring my split ego.
Careful, Frank. Careful, you lose it.
This isn't Wednesday, but we're getting... Oh, I know, Mocoso. That is so scary. I'll be like Teddy having nightmares all night. I better not hear you in my sleep, Francisco. Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Good night.
Kisses, kisses. See you next
Take
Monday.
Care,
good night. Thank you.
Good night.
I'm a fofo.
Good night. Sleep tight.
It's all being
silly
there.
Head bugs,
oh,
you're mad.